With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live. This is the Chris Smith Show on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
G'day, g'day. Welcome to the show. A big program planned for today. Do not go anywhere. Do not go anywhere. Matthew Errett will join us from Canada in the program today. Now, Mark, Matthew, should I say, is a journalist, founder and editor-in-chief of the Canadian Patriot Review, director at the Rising Tide Foundation and senior fellow at the American University in Moscow. We are talking Tucker Carlson. Yes, and Tucker has only recently released a video statement. He's decided to speak. Can you imagine how many media outlets were after a comment from him? I know that the Daily Mail yesterday crowed that they had a comment from him, and all he said was, I'm enjoying the first few days of retirement. So it was a major scoop. But this is his own scoop. Tucker Carlson has spoken about his departure from Fox News, and I'll be playing 2 minutes of what he had to say from Florida very shortly on the program, and we'll get Matthew's, I guess, insight into what it all means. We'll talk climate change as well with Matthew Errett. And are we witnessing the death of mainstream media, do you think? We touched on that a little bit earlier in the week. That and more with Matt Errett. Now, a bit later in the show, off the back of a major controversy concerning comments he made on Twitter, One Nation leader in New South Wales, Mark Latham, will join me today. Now, you'll recall he savaged an independent MP over the MP's homosexual activities and copped a bagging for it. Those words were described by some as gross and despicable. But until today, he has not faced an interview or press conference on the issue. He actually finished his duties for One Nation during the election campaign and had a break. You'll recall how his federal boss, Pauline Hanson, demanded that Mark apologise. We haven't heard one publicly yet. Has one been offered in private, I wonder? Today, I'll ask him whether he regrets those words. Has he apologised? To whom? If not, will he? And if he doesn't, is he expecting to be given his marching orders by Pauline? My exclusive interview with Mark Latham shortly on the program. Also today, Australian Senator Holly Hughes has got plenty to say about a decision by the Cabinet of the Northern Territory making a major employment decision. And when I say major, it concerns the welfare of children in that territory. And they've made that decision, Cabinet, not the Chief Minister, not a government bureaucrat, Cabinet, on the basis of race. Now, that would imply to me that it was a racist decision. And you can be the judge when I give you the details of the story, and we'll hear what Holly Hughes makes of it all. Plus, should and will the Labor government in Australia increase unemployment benefits? Would you like to see that? It is a raging issue this week, as you probably know, and my view is no. The dole needs to remain tough to live on. Otherwise, you get a situation where it becomes a legitimate welfare choice, a kind of way of life, if it's not already for some, and not a stepping stone to a job. There are Scandinavian countries, for instance, that will pay you considerable amounts of the dole, which is what we describe it as in Australia, unemployment benefits, when you lose your job because your life has been tipped upside down. But then as you get further on, to encourage you to look even further for a job, they decrease a sliding scale of benefits paid for unemployment. Now, that would make far more sense to me for those who are needing to be motivated to look for a job. However, all of that, a stack of other issues we can dive into with the one and only Senator Holly Hughes on the program. My numbers today, and please be part of the conversation, you can do that if you're listening to us from the US or Canada on 1-888-201-6425. Or from the UK on 033-0024-1026. Or from Australia or New Zealand, 1-800-670-310. I'll be very interested to hear what our Australian audience has to say about what Mark Latham says to us a little bit later. 1-800-670-310. You're with Chris Smith, broadcasting live from Sydney, Australia, on the Global Talkback Network, tntradio.live.
Unbiased and reliable news coverage.
It's the news I trust.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Well, what do you make of this? And it was touched on in our last news bulletin. China's president, Xi Jinping, has held a phone call with Ukraine's Volodymyr Zelensky, marking the first time the pair have actually spoken since Russia invaded Ukraine. Now, this is quite a bold move by Xi. It has enormous ramifications. And forget about commentary you may have scanned today suggesting, oh, it's just a bilateral chit-chat about trade and their relationship. Rubbish it is. It's Beijing's attempt to broker peace and in turn change the balance of global power. It cannot be underestimated. It was a long and meaningful call about a Ukrainian ambassador being sent to China, according to Zelensky. More rubbish. That's not why Xi spoke with Zelensky. That is bias by deletion, Vladimir. The Ukraine president wrote on Twitter, I had a long and meaningful phone call with President Xi Jinping. I believe that this call, as well as the appointment of Ukraine's ambassador to China, will give a powerful impetus to the development of our bilateral relations. That's diplomacy on diplomacy, or bias by deletion. Why is Zelensky so unable to talk about compromise, to talk about attempts to end this forever war? They reckon 150,000 kids just in Ukraine have either died or been transferred to other countries, that is, homeless, because of the war. That's per year. How many other more years do they want this war to continue? Or how many more years does the United States want this war to continue? Now, make no mistake, this is directly related to the meeting that was held in Beijing between Xi and Emmanuel Macron. The French president was there for talks with the Chinese leader on the Ukraine conflict and had expressed a desire for China to play a key role in finding a path to peace. Macron made that crystal clear. That was crystal clear. We know that Xi and Putin are close, but can you just imagine what a brokered peace by Beijing would do to the reputation of the Biden administration? It would be in tatters. Some say it already is. And how could the West continue to bash up China if Xi manufactures a lasting peace between Russia and Ukraine? Where does that lead the likes of the United States, Canada, the UK, and Australia? Now, remember, European Commission leader Ursula von der Leyen was in China alongside Macron. So Xi's moves in the last 24 hours have EU support, which is significant. And that puts almighty pressure on Zelensky to either immediately or in the medium term concede a negotiated peace, which he doesn't appear willing to do. Now, Chinese television is reporting today that during the Xi-Zelensky call, Xi told Zelensky that talks and negotiation were the only way out of war. The leader said, on the issue of the Ukraine crisis, China has always stood on the side of peace, and its core position is to promote peace talks. China, the global peacemaker. What a story this would be. A Zelensky spokesman said on Facebook that the pair had an hour-long telephone conversation. That's a long time to talk about a Ukraine ambassadorial role. The Chinese state media added that China would send a special representative of the Chinese government on Eurasian affairs to visit Ukraine and other countries to conduct in-depth communication with all parties on the political settlement of the Ukrainian crisis. Think about what that means. This is a UN-style peacekeeper, negotiator, stepping in and creating a series of negotiated meetings between both sides. This is the domain of the United Nations. The special representative, his name is Li Hua, was awarded a Medal of Friendship by President Vladimir Putin in 2019. Now, when you consider China's relationship with Russia, China may be the only country on the planet with enough clout with both sides to negotiate an end to the war. A war intelligence document reports that Ukraine is losing this war fast. We know that. We know that the intelligence reports in the hands of United States intelligence officers are different to what we're hearing from the Biden administration and the Secretary of State. China has admitted it does have a peace plan for Ukraine, which I thought deserves credit. It has positioned China perfectly to be the mediator. How did the United States allow this to happen? Or was Joe having one of his afternoon morning naps? All the world has got from Joe Biden and NATO, for that matter, is announcements about the next plane load of weapons being flown in to help Ukraine defend itself. That's all you get. The Biden administration's infatuation with pitching Russia as global enemy number one, which they've done for decades, especially under Barack Obama, has prompted the president to talk about giving endless support to Ukraine. As long as it takes, whatever it takes, endless. Well, Americans are no longer enamored with this endless checkbook for an Eastern European ally. What Beijing's intervention can also achieve is a closer relationship. Think about this with all of Europe, because Beijing is doing what Europe should be doing. And that would further isolate the United States. Interesting, in the UK Telegraph today, Theresa Fallon, director of the Centre for Russia, Europe, Asia Studies in Brussels, has told the paper that Xi's strategy is to weaken the transatlantic alliance. And it was really important for Xi to fix it and fix it fast. I don't see Chinese diplomacy running at breakneck speed. That's not the way the Chinese work. They have time on their hands and always have in history. But the pinch point here is, will Zelensky relent? Will he ever be prepared to dump his continuous vow that the war will end when Ukraine retains all of its pre-2014 territory? That aim is looking highly unlikely, especially given the status of the war right now, which makes the likelihood of a Chinese negotiated peace more likely. You know, ironically, the last contact between Xi and Zelensky was a phone call in January 2022. That was just weeks before the invasion. And it was to celebrate the 30th anniversary of diplomatic bilateral ties. You'd have to be extremely naive to think that she did not know exactly what was about to unfold. This is TNT Radio.
Trevoy Morich on TNT Radio.
French publisher arrested in London for refusing to disclose the passcodes to his phone and computer when questioned about participation in anti-government protests in France. So he took the train from France to London. And the British police held him for 6 hours and then arrested him. I mean, this is the same thing that can happen now in the U.S. To U.S. citizens or foreigners. If you go into the U.S., they can ask you for your phone, your laptop, passcodes, and then basically take your laptop or phone and then download everything on there that you have. I mean, they can take your phone even if you don't give them the passcode, your devices. They can detain you, I think. And this is the world that we live in, from Mexico to France and U.K., the United States, we have so much egalite, you know, liberté, fraternité. Just it's such wow how much freedom we have in the West. Unbelievable.
Hervoy Morich on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Affordable housing, we can build that. Sustainable housing, we can build that. At MIT Modular, we understand the importance of housing for all and the importance of design, cost, and functionality. Our goal is to meet the needs of our growing population by converting shipping containers to livable units. If you're like-minded and in a position to invest in something meaningful and life-changing, we want to hear from you. We are a team of professional architects, engineers, and financial and tax experts dedicated to offering unique solutions that provide a brighter future. our Opportunity Zone Fund offers investors both real estate and operating business diversification, 5-year tax deferral on capital gains, annual tax benefits, and ultimately tax-free appreciation potential. There are Opportunity Zones all over America. If you're interested in learning more about our services, need affordable housing, or want to participate in creating a new vision for tomorrow, give us a call in the U.S. on 385-985-5702 or read more at mitmodular.com. MIT Modular. We can build that.
You're listening to Chris Smith on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Just a reminder for those of you who've just tuned in, we'll be catching up with the elusive one, Mark Latham, a little bit later. He's been holidaying since the New South Wales election. He got in all sorts of strife for a tweet. So we'll discuss that and a whole heap more. There's a lot happening in politics, in current affairs right around Australia today. So Mark Latham, our regular contributor, coming onto the program a little bit later. But our climate change alarmists celebrating the end of Tucker Carlson at Fox News, do you think? If they are, they may be in for a shock as more people desert the mainstream media and its alarmist climate nonsense. In today's Guardian newspaper, Graham Redfern's opinion piece is titled "Farewell Tucker Carlson, Climate Change Denier Whose Claims Never Stacked Up." And it's just an example of the fallout from his exit from Fox News. You know, cherry-picking data or quoting so-called experts is not necessarily the full science. And as I always say, I think we are probably warming slightly, but as some of the co-authors of the IPCC reports over the years have told me live on radio, it is just as well we are warming slightly than cooling slightly. And so we shouldn't be alarmed about this. We should do our bit, maybe, if that's what you want to do. But for countries like Australia, as the chief scientist has stated over and over again, if we stopped emitting CO2 tomorrow, we would make no difference to the temperature of the planet. But of course, Australia will spend almost $1 trillion doing something about it. Okay, as with climate change and the COVID pandemic, appeal to authority will not wash when the public can clearly see through contradictions in the narrative. And haven't we seen a lot of that since the height of the pandemic has passed? Well, my next guest is following all of this. He applies the scientific method, which is a fairly reliable one, rather than merely quoting authorities. Matthew Errett is a journalist, founder and editor-in-chief of the Canadian Patriot Review, director at the Rising Tide Foundation, and senior fellow at the American University in Moscow. In 2019, he authored the 3-volume Untold Story of Canada, Series 1, and in 2021, the 2nd volume, Clash of the Two Americas. He hosts the weekly Great Game on Rogue News. Matthew Errett, welcome back to TNT Radio.
Thank you for having me back on.
Let's talk science. Much of what we're told is the science has turned out to be wrong in so many instances. There are enough sound arguments about lies that were told by Big Pharma throughout the pandemic that make us question just about anything associated with vaccines right now. And, of course, when it comes to climate change, I've heard from the co-authors of the IPCC fear reports that tell me, thank goodness, we're warming and not cooling, if, of course, we are warming. What examples do you think best show this, say, in the COVID pandemic instance firstly?
Well, in the case of the COVID situation, which has a lot of similarities, and I do think it's important that people hold the parallel, as you just went through, in their minds of the lies that have been fed to us that have caused trillions of dollars literally in a massive behavioral modification operation under decades under the global warming thesis that human-generated CO2 is causing tornadoes and everything, you know, Armageddon-like that we're being told anonymous bodies of IPCC affiliated experts. That whole line is directly tied in many ways to the same sort of process that was sprung onto us in 2020 around COVID. The idea that statistical data sets can be used to extrapolate trends into future scary scenarios was used not only, again, to scare us into the idea that we'll all be underwater in a burning earth scenario and by 2050 if we don't radically modify our behavior. And the same thing was done to say that's why we need to shut down the world economy in early 2020 in order to stop these terrible futuristic scenarios that were just extrapolations of false data sets. And I would say that concretely, Dr. Denis Rancourt, who's a good friend of mine, has published immense amounts of work processing the data, proving that there was no excess all-cause mortality at any point in time until the vaccine rollouts. But before that, there was no overall increase of excess all-cause mortality, which is the opposite of what the World Health Organization fanatics have been saying again and again, which is that millions and millions died of COVID. And it was a giant statistical fraud the whole way through. And only after the vaccine rollouts do we actually start finding serious all-cause mortality rates in all age brackets, but especially in the very old.
It's a little bit like the excess death ratios we're receiving at the moment. And to be fair, Matthew, this is all correlation. It's not causation, is it?
No, it's not. And that's the part of the other fraud, is that everybody will tend to repeat as a mantra the truism that, you know, correlation is not causation, but then they'll go on to justify the idea that people who have gone into a hospital for COVID or died of COVID on their death certificate actually died of a broken neck and they just happened to have had COVID. They went in for the flu and they happened to also have tested positive on a PCR test for COVID. And we were told that they were sick because of COVID and not the usual flu, which, by the way, disappeared entirely for 2020. And I think into a big chunk of 2021, the seasonal flu simply disappeared. And so what we saw was also a mislabeling of what was conventionally seen as flu symptoms, flu cases, and flu deaths that just went away and were all then labeled COVID. So, yeah, statistical manipulation, sleights of hand all over the place.
In terms of climate change, the same thing does occur statistically, because everyone wants to compare what's happened in the last 100 years. As most archaeologists will tell you, and as most geologists will tell you, that is just a speck in the existence of Earth. It's a speck. Your comparison over 100 years is bloody useless.
Bloody useless. Absolutely. It's everybody who has qualifications who have looked at this and spoken about this are astroclimatologists who have been observing the very fact that climate change is a part of existence. It used to be called the weather. It affects every planetary body around the sun. Mars is going through its own climate change cycle. So is Saturn. It's a solar system based process, which has a lot more to do with the sun. And when you look at the variable that they slap together of associating carbon dioxide and temperature emissions, when you take enough of a broad scope at the picture, you do find that they do tend to move together over long periods of time, which is sort of true. However, when you get into the details, what you find is that it is not the CO2 within the greenhouse gases that cause or precede temperature, which is what you would expect if the IPCC were not lying, but it's in fact temperature changes, which almost invariably always move either into a warming or cooling before we see the effects, which is then the associated increase or decrease of carbon dioxide. And so, as you pointed out, it's the human impact of human-made carbon dioxide is brand new. It is, again, completely not associated. You can't even find a correlation in any way, because even when we were going through the biggest economic boom, up until 1945, there was a warming. It's true, between 1900 and 1945, but then there was a 30-year cooling.
Yeah.
When we were going through one of the biggest economic booms after World War II, spewing out tons of carbon dioxide and everything else from industrial processes, it was cooling consistently, and scientists were warning in 1977 that we were on the verge of an ice age. Yeah. And then it just so happened to be that for the next 30 years, we did see a warming trend having no connection with human-made CO2, which itself is a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of the amount of CO2 that's actually in the atmosphere, most of which in the greenhouse gas case is water vapor. CO2, maybe 1%, a little bit less. Most of that's not even human. The human function of that is less than 1%. So it is so negligible on every level. And yet we're being told to drastically modify our behavior, eat bugs, shut down industrial activity, kill millions as a remedy to this non-existent problem, which is very similar to what we see was done under COVID, right? The remedy is the killer. It's actually that's the desired outcome, is to get us to be afraid of a non-existent problem and then do things that will kill us and make us more susceptible and enslaved to a technocratic elite, which has always wanted to restore some idea of global feudalism with maybe a technocratic twist. But it's deadly.
Well explained. Well explained. And it is a suicide note. I'll just add to all of that. I always like to give my listeners who jump on the talkback line some VIP status here when we're discussing these issues. I always want them to be part of the conversation. Siv has phoned through. Siv, welcome to the program.
Great to be here, Chris. Look, I just think a lot of this, I don't think much of this is really to do with science as much to do with politics. I mean, these Puritans are taking us back to the pre-industrial Stone Age. No, I don't really want to go back to that, guys. I mean, I'd rather prefer having the ability to turn my air conditioning on when it gets cold and turn my heating on when it gets hot. I really don't want to go back to the era of rubbing a couple of sticks together to create a fire. But that's where.
And if they're convinced that renewables are to be relied on as baseload power, prove it first. Do more than they've done in Denmark, which has spent two decades getting to about 12% of their overall power resource.
That's right.
Prove that it can be baseload power and will turn off the coal-fired power stations as a result.
And you just mentioned, and you were discussing China in relation to other things. Well, look at the Chinese government at the moment. They're actually building a whole range of power stations. So for all that BS about the fact they're all going green, what are we going to do getting them to actually deindustrialise themselves? And don't forget the Indians. They're actually doing the same sort of thing as well. So for all that stuff about the Chinese and the Indians are going green, I think this is anti-capitalist, and I just really think that nothing, it's got nothing to do with anything relating to science. Good to talk to you, Chris.
Good to have you on. Thank you, Siv. Appreciate your call. Let me put that to you, Matthew. You see, even if you believe in all the propaganda and the alarmism, if you don't get China and India to play ball, it's a waste of time.
Yeah, the caller in was a very smart man, and I completely agree. And I think, you know, when you look at the fact, the way that sustainability and climate science is understood in the East and China and India compared to the idiocracy in the West, it's a very different idea. And I think there we have an appreciation for the science that CO2 generation is food for plants, which is why both India and China and many of their allies increasingly are embracing hydrocarbon-based energy sources, because not only do they need them for human development, which cannot be replaced by windmills and solar panels that cannot sustain, they can't supply the baseload, they can't supply the quality or dependency of either fossil fuels or even better, nuclear power, which both India and China are world leaders of. Half of the world nuclear reactors today on the earth are being built by India and China. But they know that CO2 is actually plant food. If you care about green spaces and greening the earth, give the green things, the chlorophyll, the food that it needs by producing more CO2. It's the greatest gift we could do for plant life. And the greenies just don't seem to understand that.
Stay right there. I'm going to play for our listeners what Tucker Carlson has had to say about his exit from Fox News and get your comments on it. And by all means, if you want to phone in, you can from the US or Canada on 1-888-201-6425 or the UK 033-0024-1026 or Australia and New Zealand 1-800-670-3101. Zero. I'd love to get your views on what Tucker Carlson has had to say. We'll play that audio very, very shortly. Now, have you got a suggestion on guests or a topic you'd like me to pursue? I'm very open to your suggestions because you've got your finger on the pulse. All you've got to do is simply complete the suggestion form on the TNT Radio website. That's it. Help us make a difference on TNT Radio.
Question. Huh? What are you guys doing today?
The news.
TNT Radio News.
Sounds good.
Matt Boylant here with a look at your TNT headlines. Former Fox News host Tucker Carlson has broken his silence 3 days after being shown the door by the network. Russia's warned Britain it'll be held solely accountable for the environmental and public health damage caused by its depleted uranium shells in Ukraine. And Washington's been warned it must act now to avoid defaulting on the nation's debt and triggering an economic catastrophe.
This is the Chris Smith Show on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
I'll initially get Matt Errett's view on what we heard from Tucker Carlson today. You may not have heard it. You may have heard some of it. He recorded 2 minutes of it. I thought we'd better put it in context. Let's hear it all, not hear half of it or some of it. Here is Tucker Carlson. He recorded this himself, no doubt under some pressure from the media to react to his sacking, although word is it wasn't sacking. It was a mutual departure, and he's being paid for it. He's on $20 million a year. He's on a very good wicket, but I can feel and hear and see a Tucker Carlson television station popping up very, very soon. Here he was today from Florida.
Good evening. It's Tucker Carlson. One of the first things you realize when you step outside the noise for a few days is how many genuinely nice people there are in this country. Kind and decent people, people who really care about what's true, and a bunch of hilarious people also, a lot of those. It's got to be the majority of the population, even now. So that's heartening. The other thing you notice when you take a little time off is how unbelievably stupid most of the debates you see on television are. They're completely irrelevant. They mean nothing. In 5 years, we won't even remember that we had them. Trust me, as someone who's participated. And yet at the same time, and this is the amazing thing, the undeniably big topics, the ones that will define our future, get virtually no discussion at all. War, civil liberties, emerging science, demographic change, corporate power, natural resources. When was the last time you heard a legitimate debate about any of those issues? It's been a long time. Debates like that are not permitted in American media. Both political parties and their donors have reached consensus on what benefits them, and they actively collude to shut down any conversation about it. Suddenly, the United States looks very much like a one-party state. That's a depressing realization, but it's not permanent. Our current orthodoxies won't last. They're brain dead. Nobody actually believes them. Hardly anyone's life is improved by them. This moment is too inherently ridiculous to continue, and so it won't. The people in charge know this. That's why they're hysterical and aggressive. They're afraid. They've given up persuasion. They're resorting to force. But it won't work. When honest people say what's true, calmly and without embarrassment, they become powerful. At the same time, the liars who've been trying to silence them shrink, and they become weaker. That's the iron law of the universe. True things prevail. Where can you still find Americans saying true things? There aren't many places left, but there are some, and that's enough. As long as you can hear the words, there is hope. See you soon.
Well, almost one of his nighttime 8 o'clock editorials from Tucker Carlson there, talking about the collusion between the major parties in the United States and the world, almost a one-party system. He talks about the fake debates. He didn't use that word, but you understood what he was meaning. And yet the big topics are not discussed, are not debated, and mainstream media doesn't allow it or allow them to be debated. He talks about honest people saying what's true is the real power. Obviously, thinking about what he was tasked with doing at Fox News. And he talks about that being the iron law of the universe. True things prevail, he said. And as you know, at this particular radio network, we're here to tell the truth. We're here to separate the fact from fiction and tell it, even though it might be a little bit offensive to tell the truth. Matt Errett, what did you think of that? So different to what I expected. I thought we'd have a gossip statement about why he left Fox News and how bad those dirty doers were.
No, I think it was a breath of fresh air. And I think Tucker has gone through a bit of a self-transformation over the recent years. And he puts that into his own words quite eloquently, waking up to the increasing reality that there are agendas that he was not aware of, was not willing to look at in the earlier days when he was, you know, promoting the drumbeats of war in Iraq and these other idiotic things, which he has completely renounced and has come out as the voice of the highest degree of sanity in mainstream media. So what he said by making the point that the current this current system is wired to folly, corruption, and idiocy to such an extent that it will collapse under its own self-contradictions is, I think, an incredibly important insight, which is very true. I believe so, too. The universe will not tolerate stupidity indefinitely, especially when it is so wired to kill the base of the population upon which the democracy of so-called of the United States requires to sustain its existence. And that includes, obviously, the Five Eyes community of which you and I are living in as well. It can't endure. So I think Tucker right now has liberated himself in many ways and is now free to, hopefully, as you pointed out, start up his own media platform. He certainly has the money and reputation for it. Or join up with people like Glenn Greenwald, or, you know, he had an offer from the Blaze, I know, to join up with them. But he's going to be doing something, it seems. And he's coming at it from the right perspective. And without the Rupert Murdoch shackles holding him back, I think he's going to be even more powerful.
Yeah, that was implied in the statement there, the fact that the mainstream media doesn't want us to debate the big issues. They want to debate what is on the agenda, colluded with by the major two parties. Are we seeing the death of mainstream media as a result, Matthew?
It is absolutely in its death knell, yes, or death rattle. Yes. And I mean, the fact that CNN had to already, you know, they're demonstrating numbers that are a fraction of what somebody like a podcaster like Joe Rogan is able to get on any given day, is a fraction of what CNN and other mainstream outlets are acquiring. They have dismal ratings. People don't tend to trust them. They had to get rid of the unlike bar on most of the YouTube videos, or all the YouTube videos, because people were, it was too clear that the vast majority of people watching CNN videos were just hating whatever was being presented. So they got rid of these things to try to keep the image that they're somehow relevant, but they're not.
Still on the topic, I'm fascinated by the running of Robert F. Kennedy as a possible nominee for the Democrats. He probably won't get it, but we don't know. But I'm fascinated to see what side of the agenda he stands on so many policy issues. He's kind of a conglomeration of various philosophies. But he spoke today about Tucker Carlson. He said Tucker had more Democrats watching him in most demographics than Rachel Maddow. Rachel Maddow was kind of the next stop, but a lot of people watched Tucker, who were not Republicans, and he had 3.5 million viewers on an average night, 5 million on a really good night, and that his average night was 10 times CNN's average. So he was talking to a lot of people. And he says it's kind of shocking that they threw him off. He was saying things that nobody has ever said on television before. He was talking about advertisers dictating content, pharmaceutical advertisers getting newscasters on the networks to say things about vaccines that weren't true. And nobody's ever talked like that. I think there's a lot of truth in what Robert F. Kennedy said.
Oh, I think that I agree as well. And I think that Robert F. Kennedy, despite his currently having some intellectual blinders on, especially in regards to climate science and green energy, which I think his supporters and friends, if they're really his friends and care about him, need to school him more seriously on his incompetence on energy policy and what we were discussing earlier. But that being said, I do think he's a very authentic person. And, you know, his decision right now to put his name in the races is a very important one to try to reactivate and reorganize the better part of the Democratic Party that still aspires to revive the traditions of his uncle and his father. And Franklin Roosevelt earlier, who were all anti-Malthusian, anti-degrowth leaders who had a very different paradigm of industrial capitalism and the future tied to morality, which has been completely lost over the past 50 years, especially of consumerism. So I think that's what, if the U.S. is going to survive, if there's anything viable, the way I see it, is it's going to be because the better Democratic Party base that wants to revive the JFK spirit under Bobby Kennedy in an anti-war orientation against depopulation will align increasingly with the better part of the Lincoln Republicans around Trump, who also reject the same things and have much more in common than many of them realize.
Yeah,
and that has
absolutely
to unify to create a movement for peace.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I've only got a couple of minutes with you, but I wanted to raise Donald Trump. We were talking about debates, what debates the mainstream media like to have and what debates should be had, according to Tucker Carlson today. But Donald Trump is snubbing the presidential debates, according to what he said in the last 24 hours. What's he on about with this, and can it work in his favor?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, Trump is way ahead. You know, all polls have shown that he has well over 40 to 50% lead over Ron DeSantis, his closest contender, who's not even, you know, likely going to. I mean, we don't know if Ron DeSantis is going in there or not, but Trump has made the point, when you're that far in the lead, you don't need to debate. And on top of that, it's a giant trap. The debate is run by a bunch of ideologues who would be directly under the control of the Washington Post and other deep state traders who would just be, you know, completely hammering him. So I think he's been a fighter. He's demonstrated that he's a fighter over years and years of consistency. He doesn't need to prove himself anymore. People know his position. They know his enemies. They know the deep state, what it's afraid of and what he represents. So I think he's making the right decision right now.
And it's interesting. We've kind of been distracted. We've been focused on Alvin Bragg, the Manhattan district attorney, who's charged him. We've been focused on Trump hating him and hating the way the Democrats have caused him to surrender in court. And yet he hates the Republicans almost as much, given the way they've abandoned him after he claimed that the election was a fake. It's interesting. We've forgotten about the fact that he has no respect for the Republicans and the Republican Party at the moment. Matthew, I've run out of time. We could talk forever. Thank you so much for yours. Much appreciated.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Good on you. Matt Errett, journalist, founder and editor-in-chief of the Canadian Patriot Review, and he hosts the weekly Great Game on Rogue News. I've got to get to a break. We'll do that right now and come back. There's plenty more to talk about, including the French population turning on Emmanuel Macron like never before. I'll tell you about that shortly. Hey, for the latest community events, rallies and marches and festivals and fundraisers happening near you, you can visit the What's On Events calendar on the TNT Radio website at tntradio.live. And if you've got a community event, rally, march, festival or fundraiser coming up, how about a bit of free publicity? That'd help. We want to promote it for you. Visit the What's On Events calendar and submit your event details. We'll get the word out for you. Staying in touch on TNT Radio.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
So the loony left had an unexpected day of celebration this past Monday with the announcement that Fox News had parted ways with their star primetime host, Tucker Carlson. Reaction ranged from calling Tucker every name in the book to singing nah, nah, hey, hey, goodbye on live television to mocking his career, which, by the way, those mocking him couldn't hold a candle to him in terms of success, but they don't care. And then there is New York Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, or Sandy Cortez, as Carlson would refer to her. She made no attempt to be diplomatic.
Tucker Carlson is out at Fox News. Couldn't have happened to a better guy.
And one of the worst things about the timing of Tucker's dismissal is that it came shortly after AOC said this about him and Fox on MSNBC.
When you look at what Tucker Carlson and some of these other folks on Fox do, it is very, very clearly incitement of violence.
And of course, MSNBC's Jen Psaki never asked for examples of incitement by Tucker or others on Fox. Prediction: Tucker will continue to be more influential to more people than AOC could ever count. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
You're listening to the sound of hunger. This sound is more than just a rumbling stomach. It's the sound of tired workers, struggling families, distracted children. For you, this sound will end in 7 seconds, but for too many Western Australians, it won't. To silence the sound of hunger with your donation, search Food Bank WA.
You're listening to Chris Smith
on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Just a final word on Tucker Carlson, unless, of course, you've got something to say about where he's likely to go or why you really think he was let go by Rupert Murdoch. Give us a call on the talkback lines from the US or Canada, 1-888-201-6425. From the UK, 033-0024-1026. Or Australia and New Zealand, 1-800-670-310. It's interesting. Carlson still got he's still got something to sort out. He's got some baggage that needs to be sorted out because he's at the centre of a lawsuit lodged by former booking producer Abby Grosberg, who claims she was subjected to bullying, sexism and anti-Semitism while working on his nightly 8 p.m. show. There are a few hosts, of course, in Australia who could probably go down for that. Grosberg told MSNBC how she celebrated Carlson and Wells losing their jobs because they made her life a living hell. a living hell. Liberal opponents, of course, took to social media to gloat over the host's demise, including AOC, which we played yesterday on the program. Where will he go and why did he leave? Would he have left of his own volition if he wasn't pushed? He was clearly pushed because he said on his Friday program, I'll catch up with you on Monday. That's not the indication of someone who won't come back. Now, an investigation has opened in France after an effigy of Emmanuel Macron, the French president, was beaten with metal bars and then burned in a public square. An investigation? There were also cries of behead him and death to the king in the macabre protest in Grenoble in the east of the country. Those responsible now face up to 2 years in prison and fines equivalent to around about, let me see, about $30,000. A mob was videoed in Notre Dame Square on Monday, mocking the head of state on the first anniversary of him winning a second term. So what? So what? Is it not someone's democratic right to openly, savagely criticize the president of the country? Of course you can. Behead him? Well, that's a bit over the top. Does it incite violence? I doubt it. I doubt it. What, someone's going to get the gallows and pull him out of his presidential palace and behead him? No, that's not going to happen. Death to the king. Well, he's not even the king, so that doesn't quite make the prosecutors happy. So the mob was videoed doing all of this, which I think is part of their free speech. The protest involved up to 300 people. It was part of the social movement against the president's pension reforms, and older French men and women have gone berserk over this, and rightly so. Thousands have taken to the streets of France and gone on strike in recent weeks against Macron, raising the retirement age from 62 to 64 without a parliamentary vote. Now, I know that when it happens in countries like Australia, there is legislation that needs to be passed. It doesn't happen because one day the prime minister or the president wakes up and says, I want the people of France to work longer. But the public prosecutor confirmed that all those responsible for burning the Macron effigy faced a charge. And the charge, he claims, is insulting a person in a public office. It is a crime in France, of all places, to insult a person in public office. Some might argue that French people do it all the time. They get very aggressive when they're upset. Insulting a person in a public office. Wow, how undemocratic is that? If committed by multiple defendants, this crime is punishable by 2 years in prison, or as I say, $30,000. The prosecutor confirmed that the video evidence was being studied. Deep state is watching you. Now, after the attack on the Macron image, there were clashes between demonstrators and the police, leading to the degradation of private property. Now, that's a crime. That's a crime. Charge them with that. So police are actively searching for those involved in the demonstration, and evidence is being studied to try and identify them. Three people were arrested at the weekend and faced trial in September for making obscene gestures in front of the president. He can't give the president the bird. Dear, oh dear, there were scenes in Australia that I saw the former Prime Minister Scott Morrison given the bird and then some in reference to the way he was handling bushfire recovery, etc. But in Paris, no, you don't give the bird to the president. I thought this was a very free society, a democratic society. It doesn't sound like it. He is now largely steering clear from close contact with the public during trips to provincial France aimed at explaining his hugely unpopular pension reform. It's not going down too well with pensioners, as you'd imagine. Now, I've dedicated a lot of time and a lot of work on this program to transgender politics. Well, a Vermont elementary school says it will no longer use the words male or female when teaching fifth grade students about puberty and human reproductive systems. No more. No more male, no more female. Of course, the biologist that we had on the program 3 weeks ago made it quite clear to us. There are men, there are women, sex is binary. And it remains that way, which is why you can't change your birth certificate, despite the soft and wet left thinking that this is just what you should be able to do. Well, families of students at Founders Memorial School received a letter on April 20 informing them of the changes to the science and health curriculum. The changes reflect the district's desire to use gender-inclusive language. Here we go. If you think you're a goat, you should be able to be called a goat. If you think you're a man or you think you're a woman, we'll do that as well. Talk about rolling over. They are biological men. In an effort to align our curriculum with our equity policy, teachers will be using gender-inclusive language throughout this unit. Can you imagine the students who think this is a great idea and because of trend and being unique, they kind of adopt a different gender, and so therefore the teacher has to make sure they get that gender right with every student? Ah, isn't it tough enough being a teacher? With any differences, we strive to use person-first language at best practice. Instead of referring to a person as a boy or male, teachers will say person who produces sperm. Hello, person who produces sperm. What can I do for you? Likewise, they will no longer say girl or female, but person who produces eggs. Hello, person who produces eggs. Would you like to go to the bathroom, would you? The Essex Westford School District noted in the letter that teachers were working on editing worksheets to reflect the new changes. What a bizarre and dumb world we live in, because what we've done in trying to be inclusive, in trying to be careful and caring and thoughtful to very small minority groups, we've basically jumbled our lives and got ourselves into a twist and made it so difficult to live normal lives and then discriminated against the majority in the process. That's what we've done. That's what's happening everywhere. While teaching students about the human body, the district said it will focus on the physical and emotional changes that occur during puberty and briefly introduce the basic structure and function of human reproductive systems. Parents and guardians interested in viewing the materials themselves were told a binder containing the handouts can be found in the school's main office. Carolyn Moore, the Vice President of Parents Defending Education, blasted the change in a statement to the New York Post this morning. This manipulation of elementary anatomy and physiology is a bridge too far and a precursor to what we will see everywhere if the proposed changes to Title IX go into effect. A boy is a boy and a girl is a girl, said Carolyn Moore. We all know this, so why are we pretending we don't? And that's what's happening. It's a pretense. This is the primary way to differentiate human beings at birth, not assigned like some kind of class project. You cannot politically correct yourself out of this. So right. Wow, get her on. And the letter received mixed reactions on Twitter as well, with some comparing the practice to Huxley's 1932 novel Brave New World. It is too, isn't it? It is too. While others called for students to be pulled from public schools, and that's what parents should do, pull their kids from these schools who run around with these policies. They should be focusing on educating the kids on the basics and make sure that they are well versed in the basics for later in life. That's their main job. The rest of it can be taught at home. One tweet said, absurd. A person who produces sperm is by definition a male. A person who produces eggs is by definition a female. That's why we use these words. And sex is not assigned at birth. It's observed at birth. How exhausting all this nonsense is. As I say, we run ourselves in knots. It is exhausting. It is confusing. And imagine, here are us adults being confused. What about the kids involved in the policy? One, how do you explain it to them? How do they absorb it? How do they act it out? Dear, oh dear, I'm still trying to teach the seven times table to my seven-year-olds. Boy, oh boy. But just as a reflection of how ingrained this stuff is in so many classrooms, sorry, in so many schools, that policy was passed 8-1 in a vote by the school directors. 8-1. Boy, oh boy. Meanwhile, Elon Musk has reiterated his call to imprison parents and doctors who facilitate transgender treatments for minors. Hear, hear. Arguing that the irreversible procedures are harmful and that children are too young to give informed consent. Of course they are. Of course they are. Elon Musk doubled down regarding his previous statements about imprisoning those who facilitate transgender treatments for minors. The tweet detailed how a young man's colon was used in a procedure to change his sex because puberty blockers had halted the growth of his genitals. So forget about the surgery. The actual blockers, the puberty blockers that are used, screw up their physicality. How bad is this stuff? And we allow kids to make the decision? The world is going mad. We need to stand up against it. And this is one of the places we do that at TNT Radio. After the headlines, I'll be getting to One Nation leader in New South Wales, Mark Latham, and an exclusive interview about a range of things, but in particular, that tweet that got him in all sorts of trouble about the time of last month's election. Mark Latham coming up very shortly on TNT Radio.